All right. I greet everybody with peace, truly the peace of God. I just pray that his presence just continues to rest in his place. I want to thank Pastor Tom. I don't know if he's watching online, but just I appreciate his friendship and his obedience to God asking me to come and speak today. One of the songs said, "Who am I that you keep me on your mind?" We're always on his mind. I wonder if he's always on ours. And it's, the song was fitting for what I want to talk about today. God has been talking to me lately about the Great Commission, exhorting his church to go and make disciples of all nations. This is Pastor Tom's church. Oh, this is the Lord's church, but this is Pastor Tom's church. I know y'all know the Great Commission to go make disciples. I know he's always talking about Acts 1:8. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, casting out demons, speaking with new tongues, laying hands on the sick that they shall recover. Are these things that we do or experience? God has also been showing me that there is a great barrier of disobedience, unbelief, or lack of faith making the church unsuccessful or unfruitful in terms of fulfilling this Great Commission. We either don't think we can, we don't think God wills to do these things, or we don't think often enough on these things, if we even think of them at all. So if I had to put today's message in a nutshell, it's that we have to audit and or fix our thoughts on the truth and commission of God's word.
Amen.
It's helpful if we consider how different God's thinking is from ours. God thinks crazy things like that we live by dying, that we, by humbling ourselves, we exalt ourselves. He thinks giving is how you receive. He said that we should consider it joy in times of trials. And if we're honest, without the conscience of the Holy Spirit, most of us will not instinctively think that way. So we have to fix our thinking. And Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The New Living Translation says it like this, "But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think." Not only do we have to fix our thoughts on the truth and commission of God's word, we have to read his word, we have to know his word, and we have to come to know his voice. And so if you'll join me, the anchor text for today is going to be Galatians chapter 5. I don't know if you got a paper book, if you got your phone, or if you just want to listen to the word. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 and verses 13 through 25. It says, "Stand fast." Stand fast means to refuse to move, retreat, or change your mind. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Going down to verse 13, "For you, brethren and sistren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." You gotta love yourself to love your neighbor as yourself. "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries. In Mark 7, Jesus calls these same things and the like evil thoughts, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Y'all know this. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Will you say that with me? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Ask yourself, have you crucified your flesh with its passions and desires? If, as verse 1 suggests, Christ has set us free for freedom, how do so many of us become so imprisoned in our mind? The average human brain generates roughly 48.6 thoughts per minute, totaling nearly 70,000 thoughts per day. That's a lot of thoughts, y'all. The thoughts are frequently repetitive, with about 95% of daily thoughts often being the same as the day before. A high percentage of those thoughts are either negative or repetitive, nearly 80% of them being focused on worries of things concerning the future or reliving past events. We have to be mindful that our thoughts are not wasting our time. Thoughts trigger chemical reactions such as cortisol release, which can directly impact physical health, causing high blood pressure, sleep disturbances, and weight gain. And they create feedback loops between mental stress and physical tension. Poor mental health can weaken the immune system, increase long-term risk of chronic illness, trigger headaches, and cause systemic inflammation. Inflammation being intrinsically linked to almost every form of sickness and disease. We have to be mindful that our thoughts are not making us sick. And then, if we were to sprinkle trauma into the mix of thoughts, trauma alters brain chemistry, shifting thoughts in the brain into a continuous survival mode, which actively resists the truth that Jesus came that we may have life and life to the full. He came not just for us to survive, but to have life. He calls us overcomers, not just survivors. Yeah. Trauma causes the mind to go into a mode of hyperactivity, making the mind perceive the world as constantly dangerous. As a result, people often struggle with severe focus issues, persistent negative thought loops, emotional numbing, and intrusive memories that replay the traumatic events as if it just happened. And because the nervous system becomes wired to anticipate threats, thoughts often center around worst case scenarios, excessive planning, and being constantly on guard. Thoughts frequently turn inward with misplaced feelings of intense guilt, shame, or self-blame. Trauma survivors may view themselves as inherently damaged or helpless. Trauma can significantly alter beliefs about what is to come, often creating a deep sense of hopelessness. We have to be mindful that our thoughts are not sucking the life out of us. We have to be mindful of and attentive to the thoughts that we keep in our mind. Because if we are not careful, they can lead to patterns of fear, anxiety, and worry. Thoughts that perpetuate a lack of safety or impending doom. We have to be careful about what thoughts we come into agreement with. Agreement is a subtle conviction we either come to, approve of, give way to, or are raised to assume is true. My dad is not here, but he will always tell when he was a little boy, he would be told, boys don't cry. And that later perpetuated his inability to show emotion, to deal with his emotions. But he was raised to think, he was raised to come to that thought agreement that boys don't cry. Some of us, we say, it's always something. Nothing ever goes my way. These are words of agreement. I think about even when I was younger, it used to be a nursery rhyme. I don't know if y'all know it. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I guess I go eat worms. That's a crazy thing to have kids repeat. Nobody loves me. No, everybody hates me. These are agreements that we say. There's a famous quote. You cannot prevent the birds from flying in the air over your head, but you can certainly prevent them from building a nest in your hair. The birds represent passing, involuntary, or negative thoughts and worries. You can't stop them from randomly appearing in your mind. Sometimes the craziest thought just pop up. You're like, why? Why did I even think about that?
Right.
But the nest represents dwelling on the thought, overthinking, or allowing it to take root. You have the power to choose which thoughts you feed your energy to and attention to. We have to be mindful of and attentive to the thoughts we keep concerning sickness, infirmity, and disease, so that we don't accept illness or generational curses as an unchangeable identity rather than a condition to be overcome.
Amen. Amen.
Great-grandma had gout. Mama had gout. I'm going to have gout. These are things that people say. Your throat started to itch. Oh, man. I went outside after taking a shower, or I slept with the fan on. We start to undergird these lies against our flesh with things that have happened. Obesity runs in the family. I can't help that I'm big. You can't because you say you can't. If you stop saying what runs in your family and start having it running in your family, then maybe some of these sicknesses will go away. If you started habits of good eating, if you started habits of praying before you go out, before you go to bed. We got to change our words, change our thoughts, so we can change our life. What sickness or infirmity or disease have you come in to agreement with? We have to be mindful of and attentive to the thoughts we keep of self-limiting beliefs, because vows of isolation or thoughts of unworthiness block healthy relationships or the ability to do fulfilling work. We say stuff like, I'm not good enough, smart enough, tall enough, young enough, old enough. And these thoughts erode confidence and prevent you from applying or advocating for yourself. Say things like, God, I need to know everything before I start. I don't have enough money, time, resources. And these thoughts mask a deeper fear of failure or prioritizing, leading to chronic procrastination. I'll never be as good as them. Why don't I have what they have? These thoughts measuring your journey against someone else's highlights depletes energy meant for your own strength. These patterns of thinking become strongholds in our lives and the lens in which we view life, robbing us of the peace and wholeness that God desires for us to have. So I thought it was fitting to see, like, what does the great teacher say about thoughts? In Matthew 7, Jesus taught that thoughts are the root of actions. He warned that evil thoughts from within, like lust, jealousy, or anger, defile a person. And he deemed these mental acts equal to physical displays of sin like adultery and murder. In Mark 7, he emphasized that evil thoughts originate in the heart and in the mind. We have to move from a thinking place of fear to a thinking place of love. You may say, okay, Jen, so how do I fix my thoughts? In 2 Corinthians, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, sometimes the words that we have said since we were little kids have built up strongholds, have built up pillars of opposition in our life. Mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We have to know God, that He is good, that He is faithful, that he sees all, that he knows all, that he's abundant, that he's a God of justice and a God of peace and a God of love. Taking every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I heard a preacher do it like this. You take every thought. Imagine a thought. Take it. Go ahead and reach up and take a thought, a worry that you have, a sickness that you have, something that you just, something that's bothering you. Take it captive into the obedience of Christ. I like to call anything that is not something God said about us an antichrist thought. Nobody loves me is an antichrist thought. And you can replace that thought with a Christ thought. I am deeply loved. God's love for me is unconditional and unending. The Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Yeah. Maybe an antichrist thought, I don't have a purpose. My life is worthless. You can say, I am uniquely created. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows me completely. I am his workmanship, uniquely equipped for a purpose. An antichrist thought may be, I'm shameful. The things I've done, thought, said are unforgivable. I don't deserve forgiveness. You have to replace that with, I'm completely forgiven through Christ. I'm redeemed. My past mistakes don't define me. I am set free from condemnation. You may have an antichrist thought of, I'm all alone. You know, they say ever since the pandemic, the feeling of like isolation or loneliness has like drastically increased. There are many people who feel all alone. People can be around a bunch of people and still feel all alone. But you have to say, I'm never alone. God promises to always be with me, to never leave me, to never forsake me, to always comfort me, to give me a hope. In the future. We may have some other antichrist thoughts like, I'm broke. Bills due. I don't know what I'm going to do. To take a Christ thought that he is Jehovah Jireh.
Yes.
And say that the Lord will provide. Amen. The doctors gave you a report that's not good. Cancer, high blood pressure, atrophy, arthritis, dermatosis. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. The thing, you might have something that's just trying to break you. Something that's trying to break me is causing unrest and attacking my peace. He is Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. We got to start replacing our thoughts with God thoughts. I'm lost. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. He is Jehovah Ra. The Lord is my shepherd. We have to take every negative thought captive into the obedience of Christ. Sometimes you might not even have a scripture for it. My mama taught me young. If you don't know what else to say, just say Jesus. 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 There's been times in distress where I just say Jesus. 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 Would you say that name? Jesus.
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 Jesus. Jesus. We sang a song about it. It's power in that name.
Amen.
We amen the song. We lifted our hands to the song. It's power in the name of Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
We have to recognize the lie. We have to renounce the lie. And we have to replace the lie. We need to become aware of these invisible contracts that we sign with our harbored thoughts and with our words. Breaking ties that no longer serve us. That's a prayer right there. Holy Spirit, expose every kind of agreement that we have come in agreement with. Expose the lies. Let us see the things that we have amened in our life. Help us to release those things. Help us to replace it with the truth of your word. We need to actively replace anti-thoughts with truths of God, his word, repeating promises, and meditating on desires. Some of us, God promises us things, and then boom, opposition comes, and then we're like, oh, I don't know if God really say what he said. I don't know if he's good. But we have to repeat the promise in the face of the enemy's lie. We have to, if it's just Jesus, 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 it's better than saying, I ain't no good. God is not with me. I'm all alone. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We have to intentionally choose to agree with truths that promote healing, growth, and peace. And the Bible tells us a good amount of stories that are very telling of the power of thought. In Matthew, Peter, everybody know Peter, right?
Yeah.
We are church folk, we know Peter. He asked Jesus to let him come out and walk on water. And as long as Peter kept his thought and focus fixed on Jesus, he was walking on water. But the moment he allowed doubt and fear of the wind to enter into his mind, he began to sink. Our focus dictates our stability. When we allow negative, fearful thoughts to override our faith, we are pulled down. The mind shapes our ability to rise above impossible circumstances. In Mark, the woman with the issue of blood, y'all know that one too. A woman who was suffering from chronic bleeding for 12 years believed deeply in her mind that making physical contact with Jesus would heal her. She thought, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Her mental conviction translated into a physical miracle. Unwavering, intentional faith can attract miraculous change. Her healing is the ultimate testament to the power of sustained, positive belief in the midst of overwhelming adversity. It's not in my notes, but Brother Romeo was telling me about y'all church and about somebody wanting it. I don't know how much y'all know about it, that there's building damage that needs to be taken care of. And I just want to encourage you to just even consider your thoughts about that. The roof is damaged. It's going to cost this amount of money. I don't got that amount of money. But just think, God, what they say in church, God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. God is a God of abundance. God is a God who is faithful to his people. Consider your thoughts considering this church. In Genesis, talks about the Tower of Babel, a story of humanity united with a singular collective thought and ambition to build a massive tower to the heavens. God observed and said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. This shows the immense and almost limitless potential of unified intention, focus, and thought.
Amen.
In 1 Samuel, the famous story of David and Goliath tells of a story about how the entire Israelite army, including the king Saul, focused on fear. When looking at the giant Goliath, their thoughts dictated the idea that they were too small to win. David, however, focused on the power of God, mentally visualizing victory before the battle began. He thought and declared that God would deliver Goliath into his hands, stating the battle is the Lord's. Your perception determines your battles. By choosing faith and victory rather than dwelling on fear, David reframed an impossible victory into an opportunity to partner with God to do the impossible. The Bible tells us that with certain things, with men it's impossible, but nothing is impossible with God.
Amen.
We have to come into agreement with the fact that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of us. And that's one of those things that I've heard in church over years, that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that lives in us. But we don't always move like that same Spirit is within us. I know I said it earlier. I know Pastor Tom tell y'all, wake up every day and ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that true?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We are to be his dwelling place. We are to not just say those words, Lord, fill me up with your Spirit today. We are to fix our thoughts that we are asking the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit that when she touched the hem of his garment, she was healed, the Spirit have done great many miracles that we read about in scripture. We're asking that spirit to be inside of us so that whatever opposition we face, we got to remember we got the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead inside of us.
Hallelujah.
We as believers in the church have to consider the things we should be sowing in thought that we want to reap in reality. God wants to raise up a people free to think. Verse 1 said, he freed us for freedom. He ain't free us to make us slaves again. He freed us for freedom. He wants to raise up a people free to think. God said he would do more than we can ask, think, or imagine. Are we even thinking?
That's what he said.
He doesn't want us to be encumbered by past sins or religious restraints or restrictions. One of my favorite verses, Philippians 4, says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, anything virtuous or anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Sometimes we get a flat tire. We talked about a flat tire earlier. That was in my note before he said it. That could ruin our day. Or instead of complaining, we can just speak gratitude. Thank you, God, that I got a car. Right. I know I got a flat tire, but thank you that I got a car. Amen. They might have got your order wrong at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And instead of calling them stupid, speaking things of agreement, you just say, thank you, God, that I got money to buy food. Thank you that they can fix my order. Thank you that you gave me your spirit of patience. Maybe heartbroken. Just thank the Lord that you can feel. I know that's a hard one. But thank you, God, that I can feel. Thank you that you are the spirit of comfort. Thank you that I got an opportunity to know you in a deeper way. The fruit of the Spirit are not just a list of words for us to memorize or quote. These 9 visible virtues are what the Holy Spirit cultivates in a believer's life. These qualities represent a profound shift in inward thoughts, reshaping how we respond to daily circumstances and how we relate to others. 1, love. Love transforms thoughts from self-focus to outward care, helping you to consider the well-being of others. It's said to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Joy provides an underlying sense of gladness in our thought life that isn't dependent on temporary or shifting circumstances. Peace calms racing or anxious thoughts, replacing worry with a steady, grounding assurance. Patience or long-suffering calms impulsive or easily frustrated thoughts when dealing with difficult people or delays. Y'all ever dealt with some difficult people?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, no.
Y'all too loud. Y'all in the church. Y'all not supposed to amen today. Kindness directs your thoughts toward goodwill and helpfulness instead of bitterness or judgment. Goodness inspires you to think about integrity and actively do what's right. Faithfulness anchors your mind in loyalty, reliability, and trust in God's promise. Gentleness replaces aggressive or harsh thoughts with a humble, meek approach to others. Self-control empowers you to manage your mind, filtering out destructive thoughts or harmful desires. These virtues are the natural result of aligning your mind with the Spirit rather than relying on fleshly impulses. The Spirit of God transforms your inner thought life, which organically flows into your everyday demeanor, friendships, relationships, and actions. There's a famous philosopher, Lao Tzu, who has a famous quote. He says, watch your thoughts. They become your words. Watch your words. They become your actions. Watch your actions. They become your habits. Watch your habits. They become your character. Watch your character. It becomes your destiny. Everything that we think, say, do, every ambition that we have in life either comes from the motivation of fear or the motivation of love. Fear entraps, but love enables, empowers, and makes us free. The thought life of believers is so important, especially in a world easily and reasonably labeled crazy. We turn on the TV, we turn on the news, we go on Facebook. The things that we could think, the things that we could say, we gotta watch what we think, gotta watch what we say. Because God so loved this crazy world that he sent his son Jesus to live and to die and to raise again, opening the gate to eternal and abundant life. He so loved this world. So we as his people have to mind our thoughts and watch our words, as they have the power to perpetuate life or death. He calls us to carry out a great commission, and we must bear much fruit in doing so. The commission is love and joy and peace and all those things, as much as it is casting out demons, laying hands on the sick. I don't know about y'all, I never laid my hands on somebody and prayed that they be made well, and I sought a miracle like that. But I believe that can happen. I don't know what you want God to do or waiting for God to do, but I just encourage you to change your mind to think that it can happen, that all things are possible with God. Will you all stand and join me in prayer? And I want you to stand, just kind of like wake your body up. We see how much our words, our minds, and our bodies are correlated. And in standing, I just want you to just have a heart posture of humility before God in his presence. I want you to think about something that has been worrying you. I don't want y'all to crack the ceiling with a lie by saying you don't worry about nothing. That you don't think about something, that something doesn't bother you, that you're not dealing with something that God can help you with. So I want you to bring that thing to your mind. If it's not you, it's somebody that you know. And I want you to fix your thought concerning that thing. If it's sickness, again, he is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who heals.
Yes.
If it is a lack of peace, he is Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. So Lord, as your people are standing before you, you know our hearts. You know us better than we know ourselves. You know the things that worry us, the things that concern us. You know the attacks that have come against our minds and our bodies. But you have said that you will give us a spirit of great comfort, that not only is your spirit dwelling inside of us, that the mighty spirit of you, Lord, is resting upon us, Lord. Let us move with that mindfulness. Let us move that you are always with us. The next time a crazy thought comes into our mind and wants to slip out of our mouth, let us remember the Lord is watching, the Lord is listening, the Lord hears, and the Lord knows. Thank you, Lord, that you do not condemn us, but you do convict us. So, Lord, I ask that you raise up a conviction in our hearts, that you will begin to challenge us, that we just stop being comfortable and being church goers, and that we will become church doers, that we will not settle into these habits and patterns that life has molded us into, but that we will tread new ground, that we will walk afresh, that we will begin to think, that we will begin to ask, and that we will begin to imagine things, because you have placed us here beyond the Great Commission. You have placed us here to glorify you, each individual person. You did not make us all to be the same. So I ask that you heal our minds, heal our thoughts, because we do need it to be a move of your Holy Spirit. Things that are difficult on our own is possible with you, God. Begin to give us new ideas about our lives, about our families, about our dreams that we have let wither away, about our desires that we forgot that we have. Let us starve our wants that we may feed our desires, Lord. I rebuke every thought that is anti-Christ. Nobody here is too old. Nobody here is too young, too short, too tall to do anything that they desire to do. You said the sheep know your voice, Lord. Let us always keep our ears finely tuned to your voice, that we don't succumb to the voice of the enemy, the tricks of the enemy. Let us become so versed in your word that we will be able to refute any lie of the enemy. I ask that you bless this house with the abundance of all good things, whatever they need. I ask that you bless Pastor Tom with vision and insight about what to do with this church, with the physical building and with the spiritual life of this church, that you will continue to refine and revise the vision that you have given him, that he will lead your people, that they will go out and be able to make disciples of all nations, that they will be able to cast out demons, that they will be able to lay hands on the sick, that they may be made well, that we may be able to navigate this crazy world with love and joy and peace and kindness and gentleness and patience and self-control. And in that is freedom, that people will see us bearing much fruit and say, let me get a little taste of that. Let me taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I ask that you just let it permeate our thoughts. Let it permeate our hearts. Let us continue to meditate on it. Let it not just be a fleeting word, Lord. Let it sink down into our spirit. Let your Holy Spirit sift everything out that's not for us and keep in us what you have for each one of us. I love you, dear Lord. I give you all glory, all honor, and all praise in Jesus' name. Amen.